Can you talk a little bit about the C10 study?
The C10 study, I think, addresses a practical question. When you have synchronous presentation of a primary lesion with metastatic disease, I think the standard has been you resect the primary because you want to prevent the subsequent complications of bleeding, fistula formation, erosion into other organs, and so on and so forth. Is that, in fact, necessary, particularly when you have, I think, promising new agents such as oxaliplatin and bevacizumab? So this is really a phase 2 trial with a sample size of 90, looking at complications of obstruction, bleeding, fistula formation, and so on, as the primary endpoints. So it's a feasibility trial.
What's the intervention?
The intervention is FOLFOX plus bevacizumab.
Obviously, there's going to be some selection involved in terms of patients with critical local problems probably aren't going to go into this study who need surgery. But assuming the more typical situation where a patient has a stable situation in their primary, one of the issues there is if they do develop some kind of surgical problem, you're going to have a problem that requires or needs surgery, you're going to have bevacizumab on board, which may be an issue.
Yeah, it may, but there's one way to find out. Again, I don't say that flippantly. I think that if we can demonstrate that you're going to get a response in the primary and elsewhere, and that the rate of complications is going to be kept within the protocol limits, I think it's going to be a step forward.
What do we know about the response of primaries to our current systemic therapies, particularly those that include Bev?
I don't know a great deal. There's the Willett data, for example, for rectal tumors. I'm not sure we know a whole lot using bevacizumab. That's why we were very interested in adding it to our B40 breast cancer trial. As far as what it does to the primaries in colorectal cancer, I'm not sure there's a great deal that is out there to allow us to make reasonable estimates.
I don't think so either. I mean, what I've heard is more about patients who got FOLFOX without Bev, and a lot of reports of pretty reasonable responses, which is kind of what you would expect, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a PCR of 20%. That would be almost expected.
It's interesting that, you know, there's this big debate, and we'll talk about RR4, about when do we need a trial to look at substituting capecitabine for 5-FU, and yet the last two trials we just talked about, C09 and C10, you all just went ahead and put capecitabine in there. What went into that thinking?
I certainly don't have strong feelings one way or the other, and I think that this was the preference of the membership in the hope that it might be superior. I don't think that that's something that is particularly compelling as far as data goes, but on the other hand, I think it certainly is good, if not better, than alternative regimens.
And also, I mean, we have the TREE data, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. To me, it looks pretty compelling in terms of CAPOX Bev versus FOLFOX Bev. What was your take on that?
I think the data are the data. I mean, how far we can extrapolate beyond that, or how far we can extrapolate those numbers to the adjuvant setting, I think remains to be determined. He demonstrated the arm that was not particularly compelling was the BFAL arm, the bolus arm, and yet we showed from C07 that bolus regimen plus or minus oxali was certainly effective in the same range as the Mosaic trial.
That was the FLOX regimen.
Correct.
Right.